Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, the host of Wondery's American Scandal. Our newest series looks at Aaron Hernandez, a star football player who shocked the world with a brutal crime. But behind Hernandez's violent actions lay a much larger health crisis affecting the entire sport. Listen to American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome back to the amazing Watch What Crappens Reality Gaze crossover event. We are recapping ladies of the 80s or ladies from the 80s, A Divas ladies Christmas, of ladies of the 80s, A Divas Christmas. We are, this is part three of our multi-episode recap. We have recapped 45 seconds of the movie over the course of two episodes so far. It's been that vivid and there's been that much to say. I'm Ben Mandelker. That's Ronnie Karam, Jake Anthony, and Matt Marr. We're all here together. Are we ready to dive back into the cinematic masterpiece?
Because this is where the whole thing heats up for me.
Yeah.
But not in a good way.
We're talking about love, y'all. Talking about love.
So this British guy, who turns out actually to be Australian, but at this point in the movie, he's actually still British because that's where his accent is. He's walking around the set, which is also where they're all going to be sleeping in this movie.
It's a house. They're all sleeping here.
They're all sleeping on the set.
It might as well be like a space station. The way it feels, how it feels like they're so separate from everything on top of a mountain in Malibu, and the rest of the world doesn't exist. It's only Alec Mappa via phone or one of their relatives.
Yes.
So
this guy who is the writer, producer of a special bringing back to tie up some loose ends from a soap opera called The Great Lakes, which was canceled at some time before Y2K. someone 30 years later was like, we need to tie this up. So they're going to have a special. And this guy, Alex, is the writer-producer. And he's there. And all of a sudden, this little coffee truck pulls up. You think, oh, great, craft services here.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, a little truck comes up, and he's like, excuse me, you can't park that. What do you think you're doing? This is a real movie. And then a girl steps out, and she goes, Alex? And she goes, he's like, Neil? And they're surprised to see each other, which is funny, because since he's the producer, he's surprised to see who this person is.
He hired her. He literally
called her.
He
actually
hired her.
And they knew each other in college, and they were more than friends, and he has been expecting her.
But he's still surprised to see her.
I don't think that had been decided at this point in shooting, because this movie is like what we did as kids, where we're like, we're making a movie. Get me a video camera. And we just walked around the house making the different rooms our scene.
Now you're the girl. You're going to be the girl now. Now you're the girl, and you're like you're the villain.
We killed her in every play. I was like, okay. And then Carly comes in and then we kill her. And she's still traumatized. She brings it up to her kid. She's like, well, at least your brother doesn't murder you in plays. Get over it. We're old.
Wow. That's a lot to store.
So this girl, Nell, she gets out of this truck. So you're thinking at this point she is craft service because she's literally in a cinnamon rolls and coffee truck.
Yeah.
And she gets out and they hug.
Yeah.
And she's very, like, you know, spunky gal who drives around
She's not like other girls.
She's not like other girls. She likes sports. Like guys.
She's got this
also, she doesn't have purple halter. Hair. She has blonde hair with two purple clippings,
thank you.
By the way,
thank
just to
you.
Correct.
Yeah. Like raccoon tails, like two purple raccoon tails.
Yes.
And so they hug and he's like, you smell good. You smell great, actually. And she goes, yeah. Like cinnamon rolls and coffee. Yeah, my uncle lent me his wheel since he's not working during the holidays. And I'm kind of in between cars and jobs and boyfriends. And that was too information, but I'll give you some more. You didn't need to know that. Sorry, I'm talking too much. Nervous habit.
Cue 3 minutes of exposition that made my head spin around.
Now, here is like still angry that they set up some sort of whimsical story with the cinnamon rolls and coffee truck that literally never comes back after the scene. It's not like she brings them together with cinnamon rolls. She doesn't serve coffee.
You see them eating cinnamon rolls in a montage later on, but it's a green cinnamon roll. It made no sense.
One of the most frustrating things about this movie. One of them. Also, it's the idea that she, wait for it, this is the film's, the special's director.
This is the director.
Oh, my God. And okay, why? She's also had a film at Sundance. And she's like, wait a minute, you followed my career?
Okay. We're not joking. You didn't watch the movie. This happened.
Now, by the way, this is a great commentary about women, female directors in Hollywood, because this is actually probably the trajectory. You know, like if you're a man, if you're a male director in Hollywood and you directed a movie that like cost the studio $5 billion, they'll be like, great, here's Jurassic Park 3.
You'll get hired again. Yeah.
If you're a woman who did well in Sundance, they're like, can you direct Morgan Fairchild in something in a house?
Well, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to take away that theory from you, because I think that that's actually a real life theory. But as far as this character goes, I just don't think she has good ideas, because she's literally driving around selling carbs in L.A. Like, do you have one good idea in you?
Yeah.
Just one.
And apparently, a lot of times, directors are given a script ahead of time, and they have ideas.
Yes.
She just kind of showed up.
She shows up.
It's like an improv director. She just goes in the moment.
She just said, he called her on the cinnamon farm, the cinnamon bun farm, and she just got in her truck and came right over. Like, what am I going to direct? He's like, I really don't know, but I've got a bunch of ladies upstairs.
I have a real problem with glamorizing this woman's profession, because female directors, no director is dressed this way. Like, this is, again, way too, the beanie I could see, but the shirt should have like coffee stains. Yeah. And the jeans should be torn up. She should not look good.
Just her hair Google should not look Penny Marshall. Put together. Yeah,
exactly.
Like Penny Marshall.
Penny Marshall.
Another RIP.
Have you seen the behind the scenes of Barbie? Greta Gerwig looks like trash. She was
and
working.
She'd tell you that.
Yes.
Well, to be fair, I'm not actually, you know what? Not to be fair. This is ridiculous. This is a moment. Okay.
Don't
this
be
was
fair.
Also, by the way, this was a lifetime. This was clearly a lifetime moment where they said to the writers, okay, we read your pilot. We're not going to do this, but we want to turn this into a holiday movie. So can you just make this more Christmassy? And they're like, I don't know. She shows up with like cinnamon roll truck and she smells like Christmas. Love it. Put that in there. Put that in there right now.
So then we get her exposition, which is hilarious, and it's very young. Guys, just in case anybody doubts that these people are young lovers, okay? She goes, yes. Yeah, I'm so happy to direct this and make some magic with you again. It's been 5 years, 3 days, 4 hours. Not that I confirmed our history on my iPad.
iCloud.
My iCloud.
Because this is 2023. This is 2023.
I went to my iCloud and confirmed my history.
I mean, come on. And she's like, you look the same. Older, but the same. I just meant you matched your vision, you know, from our heydays in college. Yeah.
You were such a talented actor.
Ever heard a young person say, wow, you remind me of our heydays.
I'm nervous. I'm awkward. What do I say? Show me your dick.
I remember when we were in introduction to iCloud class and you sat next to me.
You showed me all those Cassavetes films.
Yeah. We were getting our iPhones fixed at the Windows place. And the Zoom rang. And I saw a video from the camcorder in my mailbox. Door bounce. All right.
I remember
through this.
Remember when we both logged into TikTok at the same time in the middle of iCloud class?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's like, I knew that we were gonna be good dates the second that we did during a TikTok arm dance only.
Did you guys, this whole exposition that she did went on and he like gave a little bit in here and like answered questions? But you know, like when you're eating like a meal of like heavy meat with like roasted root vegetables and you're eating it and you know you have to eat it, but like you're so tired from chewing or just eating this food, everything that she said, I was just like, I'm exhausted. by this exposition. It was one of the worst exposition I've ever heard.
She was also like neurotic. She was like, I mean, I remember from our iCloud. I mean, I confirmed it. Not that I confirmed it. 5 years, 4 months, 3 days to be exact. I'm about to do a Rent song. And like, you know, you really matched the vision I had. And oh my God, like, oh, like I, like it was a vision. I mean, I may have put our student film in my director's reel. I mean, yeah, I didn't, but I did.
And you were so talented. Like, I remember you. Close up on your butt.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. Instead of like carrying the character and making her this kind of weird, neurotic director,
she totally
drops that the rest of the film. And then she's just like a normal person.
Well, she had a makeover. You know,
she's
part
like,
of
I'm
a
just
makeover.
A girl who needs a boy.
Okay. That was not lost. The makeover was not lost on me.
Well, the story is she's like, we were in college, remember, and you were my handsome leading man. It's not every day someone gets a child actor to star in their movie. Fuck you talking about?
Literally every
day. You're so talented. Yeah. I'm so shocked that you quit acting and left school like that. Look at me dropping plot like that. This is awkward. So wait, you were so close and you're so hip with all the social. You never found out why he left school. It was your boyfriend, and you never knew why he left school.
You couldn't look
up on his Facebook.
Literally, you can get a child actor to be in your student movie any day. Call up Wesley from Mr. Belvedere. I guarantee he's ready to work.
Tell you who's doing. Haley Joel Osment will be there in 5 fucking minutes. All right? Just say his name. He's probably under my
bed
right
now. They're not working.
He's
probably in your bed right now.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to talk about what's next.
I just want to talk about just these histories. No, I can't. I need to talk about this collected history and see if I'm getting this right, that these two people have. So he was a child actor from Australia, and he kind of grew up around these women, and they taught him these things, and they taught him. So he was on this soap as a child actor, Jimmy, let's say, Billy. And he finished that when the show went away. He went to college in America where he met Purple
Juilliard.
Yeah. He went to Juilliard, of course.
I'm layering that part in.
And they became, and they were both acting majors, but she was a directing major. And he was, as she said, he was an incredible actor. And then he decided to stop acting, as he says, I just need to follow this up. She gives him a star. And he says, just like the one your mom gave you, the one that you had on your Christmas tree, again, to make it Christmassy, the one that you had on your Christmas tree in the dorms, because we were in college together. Mm-hmm. And remember? And I'm like, so you're a metallologist now? You can smelt things?
Okay, this, I'm not going to go fully, but this upset me because I just talked about this on the pod. There is an epidemic of terrible tree toppers in America right now. No one can find actual good tree toppers. And for this,
I've given up.
Matt, long as I've known you, you have complained about not being able to find a decent top. Like,
it's
you've
true.
Never, and here we are all this time later, you're still bringing it.
Because the ones that fuck you good take your money. And vice doesn't work out that way. Anyway, so I do think I still want to make a company called From Bottom to Top. Tree toppers from a bottom, because I think I can make these way better, but I'm not a metallologist like this one. This is very, very hard craft work.
By the way,
like with a hammer?
Yes.
Metallurgy, I mean, she's out of work. She has time on her hands. Okay. But by the way, what I really appreciate about this exposition was they really set up that he was a talented actor at one point in his life and that he had stopped for some unknown reason. And I was really happy to know that by the end of this movie, he would regain his love of acting and reprise his role, except it never happens.
Never happens. But
they just set him on an arc.
We do find out later why he quit acting. But again, not a satisfying reason.
Not a holiday cheerful moment. So anyway, so she goes inside the house because she has to pee because she had too many lattes.
They're like, what do girls say? Okay.
What do girls
I've got to go inside because I just drank too much Belvedere.
The writers Googled
young girl.
Say.
They just looked up basic white girl and they're like, pumpkin spice latte.
And you're not drinking pumpkin spice latte at Christmas. Latte. That's not what you're drinking at Christmas. At Christmas,
exactly.
You're at the peppermints.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
So anyway, so, and I don't even know why do we even need this transition? Because she's like, oh my God, I just downed an entire spiced coffee and I've got to go pee. So then they cut to her coming out of the bathroom where you know she shat her brains out. Let's be honest. It was coffee.
I personally don't think that they didn't think the audience could handle her any longer because it was so dense what she just said. And I was like, oh, I hate this person already.
And they said, they're going to hate her. How do we get them back in the film? Let's just do a weird, not centered close up on this guy's ass for like 45 minutes.
I thought it was the Mandy Patinkin guy again who had just dropped another ornament. I was like, oh,
that
God.
That would have been funny.
But by the way, I actually have a theory that was just the actress saying, hey guys, I'm sorry, I really have to go pee. And they're like, keep it in. That's character building.
So he's. What did he say? Like, my mom would love it. Oh, because she goes, oh, and also the star is five. It's a 5-point star to represent all the
five ladies.
All the five ladies. How many fucking points is it normally going to have? What are you talking about? Who puts it's a 20-point star on a Christmas tree?
You can do my tree. I have a, you can do this kind. I don't know what it's called. It's like a, more like a, I don't know.
Like a 20-point star to represent the entire cast of Dynasty.
But a normal star has like five. I think she was going deeper than she needed to.
Yeah,
especially I think she was. Where he went, you know.
No, she was like, backpedaling because she realized she was coming off a little too wild by giving him this like childhood star, and then she was like, it's thematic. It represents the five ladies coming back. She's like, whew, save myself on that one.
She's a terrible person that she never cared about his mother dying.
We don't know that yet.
He ghosted her. Ghosting is
no.
It's the
that's
ghost
what I'm
Christmas
saying.
Past.
Like, how did it's a big piece of news
we don't,
to not
we
have
don't
heard.
Know that
you
his
know
mother
I mean?
Died.
So she
right,
doesn't
but, like,
know
how
that
did
the
she
mother
not
died.
Hear that from somebody from school? Then, you know what I mean?
If she's gonna add it,
her boyfriend. I.
And why did she just say, "I got this star"? By the way, what did she said? Like, how's your mom?
Listen, she was too busy at the Sundance Institute.
She kind of
her short film was accepted there.
She does a nod to your mom, who's surely watching from.
I guess he doesn't post on social media. I don't know.
I hated her so much after this scene. I was infuriated.
I didn't love her. She also, as an actor, she would say lines, and then at the end of the line, it was.
Oh, it's that casual style of acting. Even the women had to say later on, you need to say that you want something.
Yeah, I'm like, speak up.
So like, what did she say? What did he say here? She's like, this is a nod to your mom, Shirley, who's watching at home. And she's like, I love her, whatever. And he goes, sad, my mom would love it. But how about that? He's like, I didn't email you. My mom isn't coming because of business.
Julie,
what happened
here? He says, oh, about that thematic part about the five women coming back. Juliet isn't coming. She has a business commitment with two people on a Zoom in Japan, and she can't get out of it. The women, but don't worry, the women are showing up. And after working with them for many years on the soap, I know their every need, and I strategically scheduled them to arrive in 22-minute intervals. So basically, explaining why they all show up one at a time.
It goes above and beyond for exposition, and it's almost like they had some horrific fact checker going through this script and going, nope, that's not going to work. That's time.
That doesn't make sense.
Realistically, the women would all arrive at the same time. They have a call time. They'd all show up at the same time.
Just have them show up one by one. We're never going to question it. Like, yeah,
this is when I said, I started to think, oh, this is not going to be that fun. this was the moment where I went, oh, fuck.
Well, I had that moment in about 3 seconds when Lonnie Anderson shows up. And this. Alice goes, Lily, you're here. She goes, I came directly from Borneo. I thought, okay.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
Hi, it's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, The Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids. Follow Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Okay. That was actually, okay. You sold that way better than she did.
Way better than she did. And I don't know, but so she was doing Celebrity Survivor. So we get it. She's still popular and famous. And she's wearing
a safari outfit.
Safari.
Excuse me, you missed a very important piece of exposition, which is Alex saying, are you still building another acting school for impoverished girls?
Oh, yes. And that's what she said.
Oh, no, Celebrity Survivor. But trust me, showing Lisa Vanderpump how to use bamboo outhouse is the definition of charity.
Hey, bravo. Bravo, Colette. There you go.
Can you imagine if they, so she did she said that joke and there was just silence after it and someone goes, you wanted that again? And she's like, no, I think we got it.
I think that's how this entire movie was.
Well, yeah, they made one of them, I think Morgan Fairchild earlier was like, oh, everybody says that soap operas are so easy. No one respects it, but just to go do your, learn your lines and then just do it, everything in one take and get no reshoots or edits. Now that's acting. I was like, well, it's just like this movie. I was like, a way to start humble bragging about your performance in this movie.
I know.
So they bring in
One shot Fairchild.
They'll bring in her extra outfits. Then we get Linda Gray and she's talking to Blue Lagoon guy.
There was,
she has like on her car is like, we get it. It says no fur.
Vegan on board.
I kind of feel like we at least knew who she, even though it was very weak, they really worked on establishing her character a little bit more clear than the other. Because the other ones were just like,
excuse
rich
me,
women,
Lonnie London. Anderson entered in a safari uniform. Yeah. So I
directly
don't know
from
what
was,
you mean.
She was, came directly from the Borneo safari. The
it
Southeast
was more
Asian
than that.
Safari.
It felt like British colonial wear.
Yes.
Like, really, no. Like they wear in India.
It was definitely like 1910.
She was an employee at, what was that store?
She
that
just like faced off with Cthulhu or something.
What was that store in the early 2000s? I loved it. Bombay, but it was a decorating store.
Yes.
The Bombay Company? Or something.
Like that. She looked like an employee at that
like
store.
The East India Tea Company.
The Dutch East India Company. Yeah. She was involved in the spice trade.
Yes. Yes.
God,
it was like very much on the nose. Like she's been in the jungle because she was doing Survivor. And on Survivor, you wear jungle safari outfits.
I never change when you go on airplanes.
Yeah.
And you do. Did you also hear what Lonnie Anderson said when they said, like, this is our director? She's like, ooh, female director. Edgy.
Progressive.
Yeah,
progressive.
Edgy. Does she drink pumpkin spice lattes? We love those, don't we, girl?
Why does this bathroom smell like this?
Sorry, darling.
So, yes.
Was that Mandy Patinkin like, character in here?
Sounds like Lisa Vanderpump pooping in the bamboo outhouse. Pumpkin spice latte, darling. I'm so sorry.
Pumpkin spice latte. So, you're right. The Linda Gray character does have a somewhat of an identity. We understand she's like a health food person, but she's like, but he then like the husband's like, you left your credit card at Burgers and Fries or a burger place. And she's like, well,
yeah, it's called Burgers and Fries. Come on, guys. Like, really?
I must have blah, blah, blah. I got to look good for
KetoCon. It's a very famous place in Ardmore, Oklahoma, that Burgers and Fries is the most popular hamburger joint besides Hamburger Inn. So there is a place
here called Lobster and Beer. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
There you
go. So burgers and fries.
So he's like, yeah, you went to a place called Burger and Fries. She goes, yeah, I'm going to Keto Calm. What are you going to do? Don't kill an animal about it, please. And so then they're like, okay. So then we see that she's really been eating fast food because, you know, she says that her credit card was stolen. And so we see that she's eating fast food. But this show is such a wuss. The script is such a wuss. They don't even show her eating a burger. They just show her eating some fries.
Fries. I was like,
oh, okay. So it's just a calorie thing. It's not a hypocrite on the eating a burger. Come on.
They just, the other it thing wasn't is in the budget.
Is the keto thing. Keto is so meat and cheese heavy that
actually,
I'm just like,
yeah.
Why should those two should not keto. They should not intersect.
Like, I know. That's actually extremely very observant.
Keto is the most meat heavy diet of all the diets.
It is, usually.
And it should be that she falls off the keto like wagon by having the cinnamon roll from the truck.
Yes.
You go. Oh my God, you guys.
Yes. I feel like they just can't, that this was in a room and they just kept throwing up. Yeah, they're going to go to what's a good name for a food convention? Blah, blah,
keto
blah.
Keto is a thing.
Vegan field. Keto Con. That's it. Put that in the script.
It does feel like they wrote this in a day.
Yeah.
I don't think they wrote it. I'm telling you. I think it's like the guy in
it
the
is
movie.
It is ChatGPT.
It's
so
just the guy in the movie.
Eating fries in the car, which
I've done.
We don't need to raise our hand to ask who's done that on this show
many times.
But also, like, if you're trying to keep it secret,
you know, when you pretend you're ordering for all your kids in the back. And a 7-piece chicken nugget.
What do you want?
I've done that. What do you want? Oh, she wants an extra cheeseburger, please. Yeah. Oh, you want a shake? Okay.
Yeah, well, we've all felt the shame of when you order takeout and they give you like 3-place settings and you're like, yeah. I don't remember what I was going to say. I guarantee it was not. If you're hiding that you're eating fast food, why do you show up at your workplace with it like still just sitting there in the car? I mean, you got to do that on the side
and
of the
to
road.
And to-go cup.
You gotta go. I have gone somewhere and I'm like, I have to throw this away in a remote dumpster before someone sees it because my car is going to smell like French fries.
Yeah, you have to hide fast food containers. That's Los Angeles for you.
Donna Mills is hugging the director guy, the hottie guy, and he's like, "Oh my God, thank you so much for doing this." And she's like, "Of course, I do anything for the sweet wayward son who was carried by my conniving sister and abducted by an evil cartel and held for ransom."
Even more exposition, and then
don't forget the 6 months I was possessed by the devil.
Come here, we're going to take a picture. You got to do something for your social media presence.
Oh, yeah, that's what she says. She goes, I want to introduce you to some of my big-time contacts, but you only have 3 followers on social media. So that means 1 on Twitter, 2 on Instagram, I guess, because it's just the blanket social media. They can't even name any platforms. They're allowed to name Zoom, but they can't name any social media platforms. They can't even come up with one.
She did say story later, but I think that's non-trademarked. So I think she can kind of...
Do you think they know? They're like, pumpkin spice latte on the internet. Just post it there. Just post it there. You're a girl. Just do that.
Also, there's no way this director guy who looks like that would not have a full Instagram with like shirtless thirst straps.
Oh,
there
yeah.
There's no way possible.
You don't have that body if you're and then don't he, show
he,
it off.
He
it's
doesn't
everywhere.
Have that many thirst traps. Not that I've looked at his Instagram.
Wow. Wow.
It's true. It's like Aaron O'Connell. Remember, a lot of he didn't have as much as we wanted either.
He didn't. And they, I don't know what these straight guys, they just keep putting pictures of their wife and their kid.
Oh, that is the worst.
Congratulations.
Or their dogs.
Great. Wow. You're not sucking a dick. Thanks.
Yeah.
We got
good
it.
For you.
Wow. Bully for you. You don't have to suck a dick to survive.
Look at you working out for health. Wow. Another guy not working out only because he can get more dick later. Wow.
Because of body dysmorphia. Great.
Have fun. Okay, so then the ladies start seeing each other and gathering in the living room, which is basically the rest of this movie. It's one person being in the living room and the rest of them being like, what are you doing here? So this is the first of one of many of those scenes.
That is the description of like at least for like a third of the movie that you're saying the rest of the way through. Yeah.
It has less drama than a Celestial Seasoning commercial.
Okay? Boy, so, that is the truth.
So Margot's like, so Margot, by Margot, I mean Morgan Fairchild. I will switch over to actress names. Morgan Fairchild's like, so like how, like they're asking about Donna Mills' adopted kid. She goes, how many do you have? Are you in the Angelina Jolie and Mia Farrow territory yet? Current references again.
That was the most awkward line to say. It just was terrible.
I know.
No, that was that line. You know what that line was? The original line was, are you in Mia Farrow territory yet? And an executive said, I think we need to go younger. How about Angelina Jolie? And the writer was like, no, Mia Farrow is the famous one who adopted. And they're like, how about both? And now you have that line.
Which, why wouldn't you pick Madonna?
Exactly. No, Angelina Jolie's fair. So then Donna Mills is like, I have 5 adopted children, same as your husband's. And then Morgan Fairchild is like, shrew. The other one goes, slut, hag, cow.
And but I went, smiling. Please, more of this. Yes. More of this.
And but, stop making them smile. Make it be sincere.
And then like, oh, it's so good to see you. But it's a scene from Jake and I's Cabaret Gays.
But I still feel like we were more convincing when we did it. And yes. I don't think that these women put any idea into their character backstories of how they knew each other.
No.
And yeah. And I don't think it's in the writing. So it feels like we're just hobbling up to craft services. Yeah, we're just saying lines.
So then they're like, okay, I've missed you so much, bitch, hag, I hate her so much, like soap dish. And then Lonnie's like, we are going to have so much fun. They're like, why do you smell like elephant shit? Oh, I just haven't changed in 3 months since I started Celebrity Survivor. And then Linda Gray comes in with her pickle ass. You know, she smells like fast food pickles and onions.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
And she's like, you're not going to have fun without your long lost.
Oh, it's
sister.
Like.
I was like, when did Linda Gray get all this energy? I don't remember Linda Gray ever like shimmying into a room. She shimmied.
She did shimmy.
She was normally just so kind of, she played the aggrieved character.
Yes.
Like, well, Sue Ellen was very contained.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not miss. She's a vegan. Oh.
So then Alex calls Nell over. I guess he calls Nell for some reason. And then they're just like talking. And Margo's like, they see Nell. And then they all are like, wow, like lovely bone structure. And oh, she seems so perky. Terrible wardrobe. It's like, okay, fair.
Fair.
And then
fair.
They find out she's the director. And they're like, oh, Sophie,
how progressive.
What's next? You're going to tell us you're like, voting for something? I mean, these young kids.
Well, Nell is incredibly talented, and honestly, we are very excited to have her on this project after her short film made such a splash at the Sundance Film Festival, sponsored by iCloud.
By iCloud. Alex said she's amazingly talented at DOS.
Miss DOS to you.
Did you notice that the first thing they do when they're meeting their director for a show that they're going to be working on, before anything else, like, oh, are you to an item? The first thing they do is talk about like they're little 4-year-old girls.
Just well, the chemistry is undeniable. It can't be ignored. Okay.
Because there is not any mention again about her film in Sundance, which they all would know of. Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, some of those like, films at Sundance. I don't know what the hell that is.
It wasn't a feature.
Well, unfortunately, the Spitfire Grill Part 2 didn't really make a splash in theaters.
I loved that first. I loved the Spitfire Grill.
So then, Alex is like, "Okay, ladies, schedule. We've got to go over the schedule. All right, we're gonna have." Acting things, and then we're going to do lunch.
I died!
And don't worry, there will be vegan options available for you, lady, who still has not cheated on veganism, but has cheated on carbs in this film.
And this is definitely the producer-writer's role to read what the schedule is going to be.
Exactly.
Not the production manager or anybody else.
And then, of course, we're going to have our live Christmas broadcast, which has not been written at all. Yet.
No.
So possibly, maybe I'll do that in the rest of the film.
And also a Hollywood Tonight interview tomorrow night. which is confusing because it sounds like I'm saying tonight, but it's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. It's Hollywood Tonight is the title. Tomorrow night is the schedule. If you can follow that, I don't know if it's from the top. Should I do it again from the top?
Can't wait.
Man, it's Patty one morning.
We're good.
And then we're going to do a live broadcast with not a lot of rehearsal. And it'll be fine.
But then,
it's going to be great.
And then that's when Nicolette shows up, right?
Yeah, because out of nowhere, there's a staff member who is, this is the only time the staff member appears. She's like, oh, Alex, you have to come to the thing that's happening 15 feet away and look at this. So he goes out there, and here comes Juliet, who has changed her mind for reasons they've decided not to show us. She's just decided to come and do this movie.
She's come as a sexy jack-o'-lantern cosplay. This coat was one of the ugliest things I've ever seen.
They all wore their own wardrobe. You know they did. Had it was to not have. A costume. So,
but no, Nicolette, this coat was so hideous.
Well, the sexy walking in was, I felt so bad for her because they're like, okay, Nicolette, walk in. And she's like, she's like walking like she's assuming that these people are going to be intelligent enough to give her a slow-mo, but she's like jerking her way in. I thought
she was walking,
she's gonna kill
waiting for the slow-mo, but it never happened.
Yeah, it never happened,
but she's walking still in slow-mo. Oh, I was just, she doesn't realize
they don't have
these people.
They don't have an editing budget, so if you do slow motion on this film, you actually have to do it in slow motion in real time. She didn't get that memo.
So Margo's like,
"What is she doing here?"
I know there's a lot of that, and Margo goes, "Fasten your facelifts, ladies. It's gonna be a bumpy weekend."
And that's it. They a lot of times had like they reference famous lines, but they changed it just enough that it felt like they didn't get the line right.
To make it less funny.
Like, it felt like
Uncanny Valley.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
take it was all like, the joy out of every gay iconic line that we can
like,
think of.
What soft through light through yonder doorway crackles. Like, you're what? What? That sounds just a little. Did you notice, though, when she comes in, Nicolette comes in, Donna Mills just literally just mugs right at the camera with her eyes and her eyeshadow and her raccoon eyeshadow. And it's not even like a quick. She just kind of stares at it for like 30 seconds. And I felt like I was being watched. It felt very weird in my living room.
It was the most authentic thing. You were being watched
the eyes of Donna Mills. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds like a great independent movie.
It's very haunting. It's the original Great Gatsby.
The eyes of Donna Mills.
I think Donna was like, why are all these people pointing their phones at me? I see you.
I just want to just blink and tell everyone to come home with me.
So Margo's like, we're over the liquor cart. Christmas tea ain't gonna cut it today. Like, that's like, oh, okay, this is gonna be her role for the rest of the movie, is making sassy little remarks on the side. Which I was not actually totally really opposed
good.
To.
Yeah, I thought she got really good at this. It seems like they shot this all in order too, right?
Because they had to.
As the show goes on, they all get more personalities suddenly.
They
and I think
up.
They're just like finally comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alex is like, oh no, Donna Mills, don't be angry. I had no idea she was coming. And she goes, well, then what the hell is she doing here? And Juliet says, she had a change of heart for reasons that don't need to be explained. Just accept that I'm here.
And we never really know what those are.
Never.
And maybe Donna, who, by the way, Nicolette has literally never done anything to Donna Mills, okay? And we find that out later. And Donna Mills isn't even pretending that she did anything wrong. So Nicolette's like, well, she had a change of heart. And Donna goes, well, that's funny. I didn't think she had one.
Like, why do you hate her?
You're not a victim here.
Remember, she tried to call in Y2K and Nicolette Sheridan.
She didn't call her back. That's why she hates her.
That's an actual plot
point. That's it.
And in fact, she even says, honey, I wanted to get into this 20 years ago, but you wouldn't speak to me. Remember? It's literally a thing that she referenced.
For one Y2K card.
But like in all of the things in this fight, in their fight, what we end up finding out later, like what's worse? Banging somebody's husband or not calling somebody back one single time?
Apparently that.
I know. So then Morgan Fairchild's like, well, why would I be worried about missing the holidays when we have Boxing Day right here? I was like, okay.
Another funny line, but kind of funny adjacent.
Like, and it's also, it's not a holiday we celebrate in the
country Boxing Day jokes.
Airing. So no one watching this on Lifetime knows what the fuck that is.
Oh man, I love all seeing all you guys more than I love celebrating Guy Fawkes Day.
with a good plate of poutine.
So Linda's like, well, I can lead everybody on a gratitude walk. I'm a hippie. So Alex is like, ladies, Julia being here is a surprise, but the viewers, I don't know, who cares? So Nicolette's like, I'm here for the fans. And Donna's like, oh, really? It's nothing to do with the money you're going to make from your product placement here on this television. Oh, my God. So now we're business shaming Nicolette? The woman just got here. Let her sell some shit.
Yeah,
she just got off of Zoom.
She just got to make money for her gay son who was addicted to meth and is now sober.
It does seem like she's the only one who's doing well, and they all hate it. Like,
yeah. That would have been a great subtext add to this movie, but also maybe don't add it and just have people talking in a room all for 2 hours. So Donna's like, she's like, Alex, I really hate to hit you with this, but if she's doing the show, I'm not. And then of course Nicolette's like, well, I'm doing it. So then it's like, oh no, it's gonna be gone. And so Donna Mills.
What if she's leaving? I'm quitting. Well, if she's leaving, I'm quitting too. I'm leaving too. Did I smell cinnamon buns? Hey, why is there a puddle on the floor that smells like pumpkin spice latte? I'll be upstairs.
By the way, it was anyone like
Lisa, bitch?
I was like, why are we 20 minutes in and having a climactic third act break right now?
We're all quitting over nothing. We're all quitting over like a third act Nicolette break. Sheridan being here, who we all really like.
Yeah. Who's never done anything to anyone.
Gave them gifts, gave them free shoes, because God knows they need those. You know that Morgan Fairchild's character was, going to sell She's those on broke, eBay yeah. after this.
There's this very odd. This was Lonnie Anderson was very excited about her monologue that was supposed to be all about me. She really just, it's sad that she couldn't rise up to this dialogue
about not being able to get. She's the only one who hasn't won an award.
She's all one. She wants all the parts and she wants all this. And it felt that's what's weird too. Like, you didn't know, like, was this written or did they just improv real life situations for this movie and make it Christmassy?
Yeah. So, it's too bad because Lonnie Anderson really is due for some Emmys.
Yeah. So they all basically quit, and Nell and Alex are like, what do we do now? We were in college together. And we just hear door slam after door slam.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
That was so weird. And that hot Travis guy, he kind of like looked like when Jake and I are doing the podcast and if Jake hears a noise, he's like, he can't focus on anything else.
I'd have to stare at what's there.
Like when his neighbor is moving above him and it just...
Or she's doing somersaults or...
It's just so...
Front rolls.
Where is Lindsay Lohan doing a pratfall down a ski lift when you need it?
I know. It really makes me appreciate that. Because then, because Lonnie Anderson is like, how about, okay, Alex, I'm the last one here standing because everyone else has decided to quit the show for no reason. How about if you rewrite the script and give my character multiple personality disorder and I play all the parts? And he's like, no, even I have standards. She goes, well, it was worth a shot. Lily out.
Yeah, she's like, so I don't get to play all the parts, so I'm out of here. So then she quits, but isn't she the only one who's still famous? I'm so confused. Why is she looking for more roles? She's still
Morgan Fairchild is famous. Her and Morgan are famous. Nicolette's not as famous as much as she's now on QVC.
An entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Right. Morgan Fairchild is halfway to an EGOT. According to this movie.
And Donna Mills has a huge social media presence.
And a humanitarian.
Donna Mills' OnlyFans is going nuts. So then we go to...
She won a UNICEF award.
No. So who was the hottie director guy trying to call that he couldn't get anybody on the phone?
His real life agent. He's like, get me out of this movie. Keep it rolling.
I did something wrong.
We can use this.
Like, what do you mean there's no one in the office until January? So the thing is, they have a photo shoot today, guys. And this is like, this is that way they can do their big marketing push for the show that's on tomorrow. So then we get to Lauren, she's on the phone. Sorry, I have Linda to go Gray. By the character names because I wrote them all down character
Lonnie,
names. I can't
Lonnie,
this
yes,
bit.
Lonnie is
but this, this was no, Lauren
no,
is Linda.
This is Linda.
Oh, Lauren Linda is Gray. Linda. Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, sorry.
Did you, so she's did on the mind, phone.
Do you mind what? Notice how Linda Gray holds her phone? It was this, like, she was putting her hand up, and it was this really, like, serpentine Michelangelo. She's just holding up, I'm like, ah. It was so interesting. And there's also an ayahuasca well, Michelle Lee joke.
Yeah,
I, really,
I mean, just
I thoroughly
in case
enjoyed.
You forgot, she's a hippie, okay? She's like, I'm just so disappointed in everything. I thought that we were going to have all this camaraderie. Like, it was going to be camaraderie, like the ayahuasca treat with Michelle Lee. And he's like, are you doing your deep breathing, your tapping, your chakras, your veganism, your keto con, your tree hugging?
I was here for the Michelle Lee reference.
I don't know who Michelle Lee is.
Michelle
actually,
Lee was I know Michelle Lee from I think she was on oh I'm gonna fucking die that I don't know this. I think she was in sitcoms, but her big thing was in a musical called Sideshow. And she was the star.
I will never leave you.
Not I'm saying I said Sideshow, I meant Seesaw. But
oh
yes,
my God,
that is
I didn't see that one. Sorry. Seesaw.
I confuse Sideshow with Seashell.
I didn't think Michelle Lee was famous from Sideshow.
I just
I think
realized,
that's a little...
do you sing to Bueller a lot?
Yes.
Yeah.
You just look at me like, shut the fuck up.
Dog.
Yeah.
So either way, but by the way, this phone call is happening while Lauren slash Linda is charging her electric car. And she's like, because she's complaining to Christopher Atkins. And he's like, well, come home. And she's like, well, I want to, but I need 10 more minutes until my electric car is charged up because I believe in the environment and veganism and keto. And I have a keto powered car right now.
And guess what, y'all? This storyline never really pays off.
It's, not only that, but then, by the way, and this is what Christopher Atkins says. He goes, well, why don't you just like chill out? They must have a steam room or something. So then she goes and steams on the set.
but then she can eavesdrop from what they're hearing.
Could you imagine? I quit, but first, do you mind if I use the steam room on this?
There's also no steam in the steam room.
That's true.
I've been in a steam room, and it's hard to see.
We've seen the opening of Sisters.
Yes, yes. Matt, we know you've been in a steam room.
We know you've been in a steam room.
I am not a steam room. I want a steam room to be like the one in Sisters.
You've got a punch card.
Because I don't like doing things in steam rooms, but every time I remember I went to a spa because I was having a really bad sinus migraine and I wanted the steam to open up my sinuses, and I just am hearing and I'm like,
that's
I got
a thing that happens.
This it turns out you're at the Tomcat Theater.
Yeah, well, I don't like steam room sex. I'm not into it. It's too hot.
I find steam rooms to be very difficult. I don't like them. It's like I the moment I step into a steam room, I literally feel like I'm gonna die. I'm like,
yeah,
I can't breathe.
Yes,
I feel like I'm gonna get some kind of bacteria, but I feel like that way all the time.
The shit all you queens do, and you're worried about one of the steam
I know.
Room. I mean, good lord.
I know. Jake is disgusting, but he won't tip strippers because he's worried about MRSA.
I'm worried about getting MRSA on my hands because so many people touch.
That's
so many
fair.
People touch MRSA is like a flesh eating bacteria, and it's what people get in hospitals a lot of times, and it kills them. But like,
oh my God,
so many
poor strippers!
Because so many people are touching them, and you can
get also dollars,
right? But strippers' bodies can have more. Like, think about an escalator rail. You would never touch an escalator rail.
I touch them all the time.
I always wash my hands after I touch a go-go boy.
Me too.
Like, I'm like, ooh, here's a dollar. I'm like, no, excuse me, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And wash my hands.
I would have sanitizer. And it's not that I think they're dirty. It's the fact that everyone's touched them.
Yeah.
Ronnie sees me at Mickey's. Yeah. He knows how I am with strippers. So
Matt's like, come to mama.
Oh.
So
I'm always like, so, you know, what are your hobbies? Like,
you
seriously? Can you just
he really wants
some
to
money?
Direct.
Yeah. I'm like, so what else do you do? You know, because that's what you ask people in LA. So what else do you do? Like when you're waiting tables. One time I dated a guy, believe it or not. And when we were in the car together and I was like, so what do you do? He's like, real estate. And I was like, oh, really? So what are you in LA for? He's like, real estate. And I was like, oh, well, I just mean,
wow,
you know, like when, you know, normally I'm used to people doing a survival job.
Yeah.
Is what
yeah.
I meant. But he got so mad. He's like, isn't wow. that enough? Isn't that enough? Like,
isn't
he really let me have
for
it.
You?
Then we went out again. It was great. I really know how to pick them. And he paid, though, because he did have a real job. Okay, so okay, now Morgan is on the phone with her agent, who is Alec Mappa, still in the same long take that he started with. Jingle, jingle,
yeah, seriously.
Jingle.
She's like, I need to go home. Book me on a first class, first row, first seat, first. And Alec Mappa's like,
And the idea that the agent would do this and not an assistant.
Well, and also right. the idea that an agent would use their miles to bump you up, that would never
That's
happen.
That's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
No. Yeah. He's like, I can put you in coach on a red eye and you can wear a big red hat and sunglasses and no one will ever recognize you. Or you could just not wear the hat and sunglasses and no one will ever recognize you either.
Yeah.
So the main reason she can't leave is because they can't get a good enough flight for her. So that's why she's stuck.
She can't go even to a hotel. She's that yes. poor right now.
Yeah.
And then we find out that her husband, her latest husband, not only died. Did he die? Didn't she say
yes,
like?
Yes,
he died.
Okay, so he died. But before he died, he stole all of her money.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's her secret. Broke.
So, and then she's like, well, he's like, look, yeah, I could spend my miles to give you an exit row seat. And she's like, you know, this is why I've stayed with you all these years. And the fact that you're the only one who works pro bono. And he goes, wait, who's working pro bono? And it just cuts away. And
I was like, as a twink dances by the pinball machine, whatever.
10% is 10% of nothing is nothing. The director of this just drove up in a cinnamon bun truck. Alec, how much coke you're going to be doing off that twink ass tonight. All right.
Who is this woman? So Lonnie Anderson calls her friend, but who is
Patrika
this woman?
Darbo. She was on Days of Our Lives. Patrika
yeah,
Darbo
she's
was
a soap star, right?
Yeah. Patrika Darbo is what's her name? Chloe's mother from Days of Our Lives.
Oh my God.
That's Patrika Darbo, Ronnie.
That's who that was.
Patrika Darbo.
She's done a lot of character acting stuff.
It's unclear, is she an actress in this or is she a coach or something? But she has this one scene.
I think she's a director?
Or a director.
She is somehow, she is in the Gay and Lesbian Center because I actually recognize
that's where I saw your cabaret that year.
Yeah, she is in the Gay and Lesbian Center because it's probably near her house and they told her to get to something that looks like a theater.
Let them probably use that location for free.
Probably, yeah. Yes.
They're like, we're filming something with Lonnie Anderson.
They're like,
and Morgan
Patrika Barefoot. Darbo is here. And some queen goes, ah!
Like, here are the keys. Here are the keys. So Lonnie has called Patrika. And Patrika's like, I'm sorry, I'm about to go to dress rehearsal. And she's like, well, let me tell you something, because this involves my backstory. 5 divas, 1 mansion, you do the math. Haha, don't do the math. I thought this was going to be my shot and finally prove to the world in this 1-hour live streaming soap opera finale that I can really act. And
well,
I took,
you're not helping in this scene.
I took Jesus. An under 5 secretary role and then I went that into replacing Dana before and after the vampire bite. And what do I have to show for it? An arc on For the People.
So wait,
again,
what?
And they're more like, convincing
what's that?
Than she delivered.
Goes, oh, Shonda Rhimes is only flop.
I was like, funny. You're not in a position, show, to be shading Shonda Rhimes right now.
No!
Okay?
Shonda Rhimes would be offended, but you know that she is not going to bother with this.
No,
but now, what's the plot line from the soap opera? Donna got a vampire bite.
There's
and
a lot
so
of vampire
Lonnie
stuff.
Came,
I was confused. Thank you.
Lonnie came in to replace her while she was a vampire, but then became so popular that she became a regular? I was so confused. So did becoming a vampire mean that Donna's character becoming a vampire meant she couldn't film the show? What am I missing?
Oh, are they referencing Dark Shadows? I did watch Dark Shadows.
Also, don't forget. Yes. No. But don't forget that it's not very clear here, but Donna left the soap opera out of nowhere, right. which has
That's
made
what
Juliet
I'm what
so
happened?
Mad, or Nicolette.
Okay, so Lonnie was the new Donna?
Must have been. Must
to
have
replace
taken
her.
Over Donna's
yeah.
role.
But then when Donna
But they're
came,
still sisters.
Yes.
Oh, she was like the evil twin sister that came back. Oh my God, I love a soap opera. Because they also referenced Days of Our Lives later with the exorcism storyline.
Yes. Right,
which I thought was really funny.
Now that I remember Dark Shadows, all the vampire stuff makes sense now. I love
I wasn't
that
allowed
show.
To watch that. I was too satanic. Very Christian family, so.
I watched that in high school. I loved the girl.
That was when your parents were going through divorce, so they weren't really.
No, yeah, that's when really my dad was living with another woman, and my aunt.
I mean,
my
I aunt. Prefer Passions from a Supernatural soap, which had the hottest guys.
Ever.
That had the hottest guys, so and they were hot. And they were reliably shirtless all the time. That's the only reason why I tuned into soap operas, by the way, as a kid. I remember all the exorcism stuff, but I never actually follow soap operas. I would just sit there. Yeah. We had a TV where to change the channels, there were like buttons on top of the TV and you'd press the buttons and I would just go back like 2, 4, 7, 7, 4, 2, waiting for like shirtless guys to show up.
I used to do that too.
Remember Michael Damian? He was on, was he? That he was so hot.
I saw him in Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat on Broadway. Okay.
Didn't he have the song? Hey kids, rock and roll.
Hey kids, rock and roll.
Rock on.
It was a cover. Oh. Yes.
Wow.
It was a cover.
It was great. Yeah. It was a cover. It wasn't original. So
guess what else had a cover? My boner. During that. So Lonnie is like, oh my God. So she's talking to her actress friend and she's like, oh my God, like everybody's quitting. And this lady's like, listen, I'm actually working as a director or something. I don't really know. I'm in a gay and lesbian center right now, but there are lots of homosexuals.
This is definitely a theater.
Please.
Yes,
I'm
in
Maggie's
front of a Cats poster. So please make some effort. So
like Shirley Ralph's cabaret show behind me.
Lonnie is like, but why am I the only woman in our group that hasn't been recognized by the Academy? So,
this, and you know, this is when I screamed, why are we doing this?
And you know, Patrika Darbo's character is like, what the fuck, bitch? You have 15 nominations, more than anyone else. Shut the fuck up. I'm sitting here working at the Gay and Lesbian Center, putting on our talent.
Well, I guess she's supposed to be Susan Lucci then.
I guess,
I'm here directing Bruce Valanche in Love Letters.
They actually did make that Love Letters reference.
They made a Love Letters reference with Rodney Dangerfield.
That made me laugh out loud when they said that.
Lonnie Anderson starring in Love Letters with Rodney Dangerfield. And they were all such assholes, too. They were like, oh, poor thing. You poor, poor thing.
And you would think that they would make Lonnie, like her character, be the one that's like constantly trying to push everyone else out of the scene and chew up all the scenery. Because Julie says here, she's like, look, an acting career is not a competition. It's not about winning awards or hair or makeup or wardrobe. It's about doing the work. And you have crushed that nonstop for years. So implying that like she's very insecure and competitive. And that would have been so funny if her character was just like pushing everyone out of the scene all the time.
Not so. Yes, everyone's too kind. Everyone's too nice. Yeah.
Well, guess what? Guess who's not too nice? Me, because I'm ending this fucking podcast. I've had it with you queens. Everybody, thank you so much for being with us for part three of this Christmas crossover.
We're at least one third of the way through.
Are we?
We're going to make it to New Year's.
We will be here until 2025.
We're going to do like 10 episodes. And then the last episode, we basically cover the last 30
hour.
Minutes.
Hour
of
movie.
Hour
we always
of the movie
are like, we're tired
like
now.
Minutes.
We're exhausted.
Well, because now, because I've got to pee after this, and when I come back, I probably will have a vodka cranberry. So then I'll just start drinking.
Atta okay, girl. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We will be back tomorrow with part four. Also, if you want to watch this on video, go to Reality Gaze's Patreon or Watch What Crappens Patreon because that's where the videos are. And we will talk to you all next time. We love you guys.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary. It's the Green Fairy.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.